Have you seen in the last few days those full-page ads in the papers placed by AGL saying that the energy company is leaving coal? Lots of wind turbines in the picture, and yet another reminder that the market is changing, even with the big firms. But is the transition happening quickly enough in Australia, given the environmental challenges we face? Well, not fast enough for Adam Bumpus from the University of Melbourne. He, just to remind, was one of the 5 under 40 top scientists at the ABC last year, and since then he's been very busy indeed, thinking about our energy future needs.
We all know the climate change story. The science is unequivocal, and every year new records are broken. 2016 was the hottest year on record. And in December 2015, at the Paris Climate Summit, 175 countries signed up to take global action. One of the most important ways to combat climate change is to change the electricity production system, which globally accounts for around 25% of total greenhouse gas emissions. We need to switch and decarbonize our energy system. And the economics stack up. Global investment in renewable power capacity in 2015 was $348 billion, more than double the money invested in new coal and gas generation. Solar is now cheaper than wind. A deal in Chile in August put solar at just over $29 per megawatt hour, about half the price of competing coal power. Although this is mostly happening in developing countries, solar energy is tipped by Deutsche Bank to be at what is known as grid parity, as cheap as other forms of energy, across the world in 2017. This means more renewable energy is and will be supplied. And while it's true that total investment of renewables dropped in 2016 by 18%, this was mainly due to falling prices of renewable equipment and governments focusing on making existing systems as efficient as possible. So things are actually getting cheaper. And this is good news, because around half of the emissions reductions we need will come from the demand side, how people consume energy, via energy efficiency measures, personal control of systems, and smart energy. But it's not happening at scale yet. This is where clean energy entrepreneurship comes in. Given that Australia still has one of the highest per capita emissions of any major economy in the world, there is both a challenge and an opportunity for entrepreneurs to reduce our high carbon energy diet. Australia's high electricity prices, abundant sunshine, and competitive electricity market could lead to seriously impressive decarbonisation. Australia already has the highest level per person of rooftop solar electricity panels in the world. From an investment perspective, ARENA, the Australian Renewable Energy Association, has put up $1.1 billion towards renewable energy investments, which prompted an extra $1.6 billion of private sector funding. Industry is stepping up. For example, AGL has partnered with SunVerge to invest $20 million to deploy a virtual power plant by coordinating distributed solar and storage. These actions offer a glimpse of a prosperous, advanced energy economy. But these are big industry responses. What about the entrepreneurs that are emerging to make a difference? Why is Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, still the only name we know when it comes to clean energy entrepreneurs? Well, it's tough to be an entrepreneur, and it's even tougher to be one in new clean energy systems. To work out how we might change this and how we could help foster the next generation of clean energy entrepreneurs in Australia, my colleagues at the University of Melbourne and the Graduate School of Business at Stanford in California hosted a workshop with the top 35 people in Australia working in clean energy entrepreneurship, and this is what we found. Firstly, the private sector is going to have to up the ante and lead the charge. Government is often put forward as the group to lead the energy transition. And indeed, regulation of polluters is very important. But it is actually the private sector who must take the action to change the energy system at scale. And there are three reasons why the private sector is already leading this charge. These are the so-called three Ds of the new energy system: decentralization, decarbonization, and digitalization. The grid is becoming increasingly modular. There is more power generation coming in from more places, including household solar and energy storage. Already we're seeing state-owned energy companies like Horizon Power leading microgrid solar and storage technology to create more efficient clean energy. Private sector companies like GreenSync and Reposit Power are enabling independent power production connected to the grid, supporting experiments like AGL and SunVerge's work on the virtual power plant. All of this points to decentralized energy production and use. Then there is the imperative to decarbonize. The Paris Climate Summit, along with federal and state-led regulation, all points in the general direction of emissions reductions, providing an indication to business that ultimately we are looking at a decarbonized economy. Finally, there is the rapid advancement of digital applications, software to control energy systems, smarter batteries, and connecting smartly to each other to share electricity and create energy trading. And this is where the new generation of clean energy entrepreneurs are diving in. You might be wondering, so why do we need entrepreneurs to decarbonize our energy system? Einstein famously said, "We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them." This is how we can understand the full decarbonization of our economy, and precisely why clean energy entrepreneurs are so important. Corporate innovation often cannot replace startups' ability to innovate, because corporations and startups have two different goals. Corporates want to maintain tried and tested business models, whereas entrepreneurs in startups want to initiate new business models that disrupt the old ones and make a profit in the process. Think of the pioneering business models of millennials such as Brian Chesky's Airbnb or Drew Houston's Dropbox, all taking on existing business models and fundamentally reworking entire industries, and in the process, forcing them to change. This is so important. Entrepreneurs are key to finding radical clean energy innovations and ideas and ultimately bringing new solutions to the market. So why isn't real clean energy entrepreneurship happening as yet? The simple reason is that while the elements of an effective clean energy ecosystem exist, entrepreneurs, funders, customers, and emerging markets, the social networks that enable entrepreneurship to flourish are not well developed enough to help those entrepreneurs enter the ecosystem and ultimately become successful. Social network analysis in business has shown that networks play a critical part in assisting entrepreneurial success by connecting entrepreneurs, structuring interactions, and creating cross-cutting connections that would otherwise not be found. For scientifically advanced technologies like clean energy, these networks may be even more important. In Australia, there still exists a risk-averse mindset toward clean energy and a lack of interest amongst entrepreneurship students to start clean energy enterprises. Much of this is coupled with a lack of media attention alongside a low level of understanding in the general sector about the importance of encouraging young entrepreneurs to take on the energy challenge. Thanks, however, to emerging clean energy accelerators and incubators in Australia, we're seeing the science of clean energy get into the business of clean energy. Incubators provide a physical space to startup companies and access to shared equipment, resources, and hopefully a network of experts. Accelerators often complement incubator spaces as structured programs to accelerate and nurture entrepreneurship ideas. In Australia, there are three incubators dedicated to energy: Energy Lab in Sydney, 1804 in Newcastle, and the new Victorian Energy Incubator in Melbourne. These innovation precincts that help facilitate connections and provide vital support systems for startups are critical in other research-intensive deep technology industries like biomedical and biotech. Yet, with clean energy, the network of actors is both new and small, and as such, has not achieved the scale and interconnectedness that has been so beneficial in other industries. People often also say that clean energy entrepreneurs can't make it because there isn't money available to help. This isn't necessarily true. The money does exist. It's just not easy to access for entrepreneurs, and a culture of fear of failure for investors makes it difficult for them to invest in this sector. Fortunately, this is changing. Government funding combined with private sector venture capital is stepping into the fold to help enable clean energy entrepreneurs to get their ideas to the next level. So, how do entrepreneurs make it through the valley of death and build wildly popular solutions? For clean energy companies, there really are two valleys on the way to building a company. One valley to get the technology to work without running out of funding, and another to commercialize it. They can, however, make it through these valleys of death by building the right teams. This means balanced skill sets, big ideas people, and accountants, having effective mentors and advisors to guide entrepreneurs away from the crevasses of business failure and spur them onto new heights, and funders who are with them for the whole journey, not just part of it. Full decarbonisation of our economy by 2050 is needed to avoid the worst of climate change. Fortunately, Australia has some of the best energy resources in the world and entrepreneurs who have the spirit to take advantage of it. With connectivity between the ideas, the people, the finance and the market, the social networks of entrepreneurship can turn the science of clean energy into products and solutions that will transform the way we see and use energy.
Dr. Adam Bumpus, keen as ever on what's possible. He's a senior researcher at the University of Melbourne. And do note that earlier this week on Breakfast on RN, Matt Bevan reported on yet another really exciting invention from the University of Newcastle this time, a chemical energy machine. Well worth another listen. You'll find a link on the Occam's Razor website. Next week we go to Brisbane for some innovative thoughts on prostate cancer from Dr. Judy O'Malley-Ford. I'm Robin Williams.